Welcome to the Community Board Podcast with your host, Miguel Valdez. Hi, everybody. We're already second week of March. Everything is turning green. Spring's around the corner. St. Patrick is around the corner, too. There is something that we always can control, but the time we cannot control. And today we're going to be talking about something that is related to the time, the crown time, you know, things that we cannot control. And one of those things is when we get older, and also our loved ones, our parents and family, you know, they get older and we need to step up and be a caregiver for them, like when they were caregivers for us when we were young. And it's a lot of things that comes along with taking care of loved ones when they get old. And today we're going to be talking about supporting older adult family caregivers in the time of loss. And with that, I would like to introduce my guest today. Today we have here a team who is actually working on supporting older adult family caregivers. And I'm going to pass it here to my guest. I have Kathy Sheffy. Hi, Kathy. How you doing?
Hi. Hi, everyone. Hi, Miguel. Thank you so much for having us. My name is Kathy Sheffield. I'm a senior clinical research coordinator on the Mayo Clinic campus in Jacksonville, Florida.
Kathy, can you give us a brief introduction of what are we going to be talking about? What are these support older adult family caregivers in times of loss consist on?
Sure. So the focus of today's episode is supporting older adult family caregivers, especially those experiencing grief and emotional distress due to caring for an ill loved one. So the purpose of today is we're just going to introduce and discuss our research, which is aimed at better understanding how we can best support those caregivers and better understand and provide that type of support to them.
Awesome. So who can help us understanding, who can be part of this study? Because, you know, sometimes you see a flyer when you're walking either at the library or a hallway or at the store, and you know, they have the, who can qualify, who can help me with that? Who can be a participant in this kind of study?
Yeah, so anybody who is an adult, so over the age of 60, a family caregiver for somebody in their immediate family, that can include spouses and significant others. So if you care for an ill family member, such as your mother, your father, child, siblings, spouse.
60-year-old, that's the only requirement at this point, and caring of taking care of somebody. A family member or a partner, right?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. And what would that participant entitled? What would that, well, somebody who decided to, you know, who take that step, because not everybody have the opportunity who have participated on a study before. What does that involve in this case for this type of study?
Yeah, so you know, so your role as a caregiver. So just to get back a little bit to what type of caregivers could be included. So, 60 and older, caring for a sick family member who has a chronic illness, and if you are experiencing, if the caregiver is experiencing high levels of grief, distress, trauma, those are the types of caregivers that we want to support in this study. So if a caregiver is interested in enrolling in the study or seeing if they're eligible, they would be contacted by me to complete some screening forms to determine their eligibility. And if they are eligible, then they'd be invited to enroll in the study and to sign a consent form, which I would review with them in detail and go over all the parts of the study and what would be involved in their participation. And so after enrolling in the study, the caregiver would be asked to complete an additional set of surveys. These surveys ask about their feelings of grief, loss, as well as their current physical and mental health well-being. And these surveys can be done on paper or online through a link. So all sorts of ways to complete those at a time that's easiest and most convenient for that caregiver.
And just as a setup and example, what would it be like emotional distress among caregivers?
Yeah.
We all take care, you know, we try to care of our loved ones, but know that this study wants to build brain guilt, but how mm-hmm. someone who's taking care of somebody sometimes can feel distress.
Yeah, and I think I'll let Dr. Cindy Toftagen speak to that. She's mm-hmm. the principal investigator of the study, and she could go over, you know, the significance of the study, and you know, it really depends on the caregiver's unique experiences and their needs in their relationship with their loved one, mm-hmm. and she can go over some of the more overarching points to the reasonings for the study and why we want to include those types of people.
Perfect.
Thanks, Kathy. I can jump in. Thank you, Miguel, for having us on the call. Caregiving is a very challenging time of life, right? Especially as we get older and we're experiencing illnesses and perhaps deaths of people that we're close to, just associated with getting older. And caregivers go through a lot, right? There's so little support out there in the community for caregivers. And we're trying to improve that situation by, first of all, testing ways of helping caregivers. So this current study, we're testing two forms of treatment for caregivers. And so people that are enrolled in the study have a chance to get one of two treatments. One is regular meetings with a social worker to talk about what kind of help they need and what kind of help is available for them, and provision of emotional support, an opportunity to discuss their situation and get feedback from a licensed clinical social worker with expertise in caregiver issues. And then the other type of treatment that they might receive is a mind-body treatment that allows them to process their experience in their mind and kind of find solutions that work for them through a different process that doesn't involve as much conversation, but allows them to get in touch with their emotions and process those emotions.
I have a question. So, does the caregivers, do they have to be part of any program, ongoing program, or anybody, as long as you're a caregiver and over 60, can participate?
So they have to be caring for somebody with a very serious illness, mm-hmm. In a situation where the illness, it could be life-threatening. And so we're talking about people that are involved in a lot of caregiving activities, and that stress is kind of piling up on them. And as a caregiver themselves, that takes a big commitment a lot of times. And people experience losses that they can grieve. For instance, people that like to travel a lot and are confined to home can experience the loss of their travel plans and relationships with family that might live at a distance that they usually travel to see. Also, people who are really involved in caregiving on a regular basis may have to give up their jobs or their professions, which is a personal loss too. So we help them in the study deal with all these losses that they can be experiencing as caregivers. And like Kathy said, it's a very individualized experience, and this both these treatments give us an opportunity to work with people on an individual basis to address their specific needs.
That's great, because I mean, if we help the caregiver at the end, the needs of the patient, hopefully they're getting met, you know.
Absolutely. If the caregiver is doing well, then the patient's going to do better. If the caregiver's struggling, it's going to impact the patient. So there's this very close relationship between both. And so we want to be of help to this caregiver, both for them and for the patient as well.
Mm-hmm. What about for, does by me as a caregiver, if I decided to participate, I'm not 60 yet, but let's say someone decided to participate, does this affect their service? Is there any confidentiality, privacy issues, since you're the caregiver of a patient by participating in this study?
Yeah, so as part of any kind of research, we have to have a lot of processes in place to protect patient and caregiver confidentiality. And so all the information that you provide would be confidential and stored in a very well-protected database. It doesn't contain any personal identifiers. There's nobody else that would have access to your information except for our study team on a need-to-know basis, and also the governing bodies that oversee the study, which would include the Mayo Clinic Institutional Review Board, and the study's sponsored by the National Institutes of Health. So at some point, the data without personal identifiers may be shared with them, but it wouldn't contain anything that would identify a certain individual.
And Kathy, just like everything Cindy, like everything on life, you know, you have to make decisions from the moment you get up out of bed, what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to, in this case, let's say you make a decision to participate and study, what are the potential risks and benefits that someone encounter by participating in a study like this?
That's a great question, Miguel. The potential benefit is that you get help at the time that you need it, when you're struggling with your situation as a caregiver and experiencing emotions with the potential death of your loved one and the sickness that they're going through. And so, as challenging as that can be, it's important to take time to care for yourself. Caregivers put that off a lot, right? You're you're paying attention to the patient, and rightfully so. But it's also important for you to take time for your own well-being and your emotions, and your quality of life and your mental health are important pieces of that. And so this allows you to take some time for that if it's not something that you've been doing on a regular basis. It also helps you focus on the need to do that going forward, right? So, and may give you some insights on how you can do that on a long-term basis. There's 4 sessions involved in this, so it's really the beginning of long-term coping strategy, I guess I would say.
And people, for any reason, they can withdraw at any time, right?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, once you enroll in the study, it's a fairly long process of being in the study with, you know, you'll have more interaction with us in the beginning, because right away you'll be assigned to get one of these 2 treatments. You'll get those for 4 sessions, and then you'll fill out some questionnaires afterward, and then you won't really hear from us or be required to do anything for a while. Although Kathy or one of the coordinators, because we're a 2-site study, we're recruiting caregivers in both Florida and in Rochester. And so once a month, one of the coordinators at one of those sites will reach out just to check in and see how things are going and maintain connection through the study. And you'll be in the study for at least 13 months, but you won't be required to do anything for at least six.
Your input as a participant is via interviews, like you mentioned with Kathy, or do they have to go online and fill something? How's the feedback from the participant?
Yeah, so there's both things. One of the social workers will talk with you about your grief experience later on after you've been, after you receive the treatment about 6 months later or so. And then again, about 13 months later, you'll talk with the social worker and you'll fill out surveys online that Kathy will send you or one of the coordinators will send. And so the social work team and the coordinators will be in touch regularly throughout that period, but there won't be anything really that you would have to do. until at least 6 and 13 months afterwards, and that would be very brief.
Yeah, and if like you mentioned, in case there's something happens, you need to withdraw from the. You can withdraw without penalty. You still receive service at Mayo Clinic, and you everything continues the same, right?
Yes, but whether you choose to participate mm-hmm. or whether you choose to withdraw at some point would not affect any of the care that you would receive at Mayo Clinic or elsewhere. It's completely voluntary for you to participate. We think that you'll see value in participating, and not only for yourself, but potentially for caregivers in the future. And so a lot of times in research, we not only have an opportunity to help the people that are in the study, but the whole reason is to long-term develop strategies to help caregivers. So you can help be a part of that.
Great. One more question. So those participants, do they need to be receiving currently service at Mayo Clinic or not necessary?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
People in the community are welcome to be a part of the study.
The caregivers. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So on related to promoting future support for caregivers, like you mentioned, the benefits of participating in this is going to help in the future for interventions. What else can you tell us a little bit about that? Well, I guess you already covered some of that.
Well, we don't have enough interventions. We don't have enough programs to support caregivers, especially in clinical settings, but in the community too, right? Caregivers, family caregivers provide the most support for patients who are experiencing a chronic and debilitating illness, yet they have very little in the way of resources and support for them out there in the community. And sometimes they feel isolated, and so it's important for us to find new ways to help them. And social workers are really at the front end of helping those people. And so this gives them access to social work services that they wouldn't necessarily have before, and helps us to explore the best ways for social work to help this group of caregivers. I do want to emphasize that in order to be in the study, you would need to be able to come to one of the Mayo Clinic campuses for a total of 4 times. Everything else could be done online, but the social work intervention would be face-to-face. We think that's very important for a lot of reasons, but primarily being able to be in front of someone and have the attention of a social worker for that amount of time, just one-on-one in person, can be of tremendous value.
Great. Well, we just want to invite everybody, like we mentioned, we all have a loved one, somebody close to us that at one point we have to take care of someone. And there's plenty of studies that show that when they support a network or support for the patient is better or better outcomes for everybody. But in this case, we're focusing on the caregivers. And this is a great opportunity to participate. Again, the only requirements is that you're taking care of somebody who's dealing with the grief of loss. The study is called Supporting Older Adult Family Caregivers in the Time of Loss. And you have to be 60 years and older, taking care of somebody. If you live within the Rochester area, correct, and the Jacksonville area, you can participate in this study. You fill this first step is filling a survey. Is that correct, Cindy?
Yeah.
That would be we're going to be providing here a link or a QR code where you can reach out. And what is the first step if you decided to participate?
Yeah, so if you're interested in participating, what you would do is just follow that link. And we're going to ask you some questions about your caregiving situation. And for instance, what is your relationship to the patient? How old are you? Those kind of things. And then we're going to ask you some questions about the losses that you've experienced so far in that experience. And also, we're going to ask you some questions about how traumatizing the experience has been for you, if at all. Some people don't experience trauma associated with caregiving, but some do, depending on their previous experiences and how many people they've cared for and how sick the person is. So you'll fill out some questions about that too. And then we'll review those questions. I think Kathy mentioned that we're really looking for people that are experiencing a lot of grief and distress associated with their caregiving role. And so if you're not experiencing high levels, you may or may not qualify. So that's why we ask those questions, to kind of determine where you're at, and so that we can address those things during treatment. But if you're doing well, you're probably not going to qualify for the study. You won't qualify for the study because, yeah, you know, those aren't the people that we're seeking to help. Although we recognize that there aren't enough resources for the people that are doing well either. But these are the interventions that we're using are really targeting the problems that caregivers experience. And so, you know, that's why we're looking for people that are experiencing certain levels of distress.
And down the road, we're going to help other people who are also dealing with this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And one more question. Is there any remuneration offered to participants at this moment for this study?
Yes, there is. And I'll let Kathy go over that.
Okay.
Sure. So we'll be collecting data at four separate time points. And for each time point, you will be remunerated $25 for your time and effort, and just as a thank you for helping us out with our research.
Okay, perfect. And then you said there is expected around four visits too, that the participants are required?
Is that yes, correct? There's okay. Four face-to-face visits. I would like to introduce Renee Foster. She's a social worker that works with the caregivers in our study, and she's one of the social workers that you might be meeting with, depending on whether you're in Rochester or Florida. If you're in Florida, Renee would be the person that you'd be meeting with.
Renee, what has been in your experience, the experience of the participants when they come?
Hi, everyone. I'm Renee. I'm the interventionalist for the study in Florida. In terms of what they've experienced coming
meaning, you know, somebody who never participated in a study, in this case, you reach out to them, you explain them, like Cindy mentioned, and then you just go over the questions with them. That's what they should be expecting. Or,
well,
in your experience, you do some coaching. Tell me a little bit in your role. What do you do?
Well, I don't want to be too detailed about the specifics because there's two separate interventions, but in both cases, we'll address some of the symptoms that are of most concern to the caregivers, or what's causing the most stress for them while they're in their role as a caregiver, and we'll provide support for that. It could be anxiety, overwhelm, grief, anticipatory grief, fear of the future, guilt. They could be experiencing some other issues within family relationships that can cause more enhanced distress, financial concerns that they have that cause even additional stress. So we address the issues that are of most concern, and with the hope of building more capacity for them to be able to cope, and as they move forward,
you're giving them improving.
The
tools.
Huh?
You're giving them tools.
Yeah. So regardless of which intervention they are participating in, that is the hope for both, is improving their ability to cope in the future with distress that they're experiencing later as well, and addressing the distress they're experiencing now.
Okay. Thank you. Cindy, anything else that we need to add?
Well, a little bit more about the process, maybe.
Yes, and, please.
Okay. So if someone's interested in the study and they fill out the screening questionnaires, then a coordinator would reach out to them at that point and go over the consent and all the things that they would need to know about being in this study in a lot of detail. And if they're interested in being in the study after that and they sign the consent form, then Kathy would share their contact information with Renee. And Renee would reach out to them to schedule their 4 in-person sessions. And then Renee would let them know which group they're assigned to and proceed with giving them the treatment that they would receive as part of the study. And that's all free of charge, of course, for being in the study. And then after that, Kathy would follow up with them on a regular basis. The one thing I think we haven't talked about, Miguel, is that after the 4 sessions, mm-hmm. a member of our study team would reach out to them for an interview about their experience, and they can participate in that or not. But if they choose to participate, that's about a half an hour conversation on the phone about how things went, what their perceptions of the treatment they received were, and those kind of questions. That is, again, that's an optional part of the study, but can give us important information about how both of the treatments work.
I see. Well, thank you guys for sharing. I just would like to invite everybody to share this podcast. If you know someone who's at this moment being a caregiver for someone who's, you know, dealing with this kind of loss and stress, and just share this episode, let them know about this opportunity to participate, and also you benefit yourself by participating and also helping other caregivers in the future and take advantage of this. We're going to be providing here the link where you can reach out to, let me see, to Kathy, and Kathy will reach out to you if you qualify and you're on the qualifications for this study, and then they'll go from there. And we want to encourage also to all community members, everybody who's listening, if you have something that you would like to communicate with the community, please reach out to us. Use this platform to spread your message here on the Community Board Podcast, and we make sure we schedule here in another podcast. And I also encourage you to please talk to family members and friends and share this episode, because we all need help at one point, and there is always okay to ask for help. Thank you again, and stay tuned for another episode of the Community Board Podcast.